Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another AppleViz Unleashed for June 2018. I am Thomas Dombo, also known as Anonymous. If you are a first-time listener, thank you for giving us a listen. If you're a return listener, thank you for coming back. We've got the crew here again with us. We've got over here Mr. Big R. Randy.
Hi there. You know, Go ahead, laugh at such a cheap trick. Go ahead.
You know, I wanted to throw you in first to see if I screwed you up, and I didn't.
It takes a lot more than that to screw me up, guys. I'll tell you.
But you got to do him last, though, because I'm so ordinary. It's like, hey, it's me. Hey, guys.
Nah, we all love you.
This is your time to shine, Mike. Okay, so
go shine with it. Shine for us. So come on.
Over there, we have Mike Malarcy.
Way too much pressure to shine. I'll just be over here making, like, some kind of comments every now and then.
And, oh, man. It's good to have you both on.
It's good to be here. What is this? Our sixth cast now, is it? Or fifth? Or what is it? Sixth, I think, isn't it? To put you on the spot.
Yeah, number six, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Well, anyway, we know information, but we don't know how to count.
Hey, yeah. we're halfway through the year. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think it's six. Oh. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And we're still here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, enough of the dust is settled and everybody and their brother did a WWDC coverage and whatnot. And a lot of details were mentioned and stuff. So I figured, you know, since now the dust is settled and I just had some time to sit back and think about what went on in the WWDC, I'm curious what you guys got out of the WWDC out of that keynote in general.
The same basic thing that I'm really excited to see when I first heard about it. Man, I want that walkie-talkie app on my watch.
I do too. That I don't know why, but you and me, Randy, I was thinking of you. I was like, oh my God. I was sitting there salivating. I'm saying, oh my goodness, walkie-talkie. I okay, where can I get this beta?
They were advertising it. And I heard it. And I was just going, give it to me.
And, you know, that was one of the big things that came out of there. I was really, really, I was like, oh, my gosh. I think if there was one thing that made me kind of like really excited about something, that was it for sure.
So you're a tester. Have you tried it, Tom? Have you tried it yet?
You know, the problem is I got nobody else to test it with.
Oh, yeah.
That's a major downside to a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Sitting there on my face watch, I got it. The complications, I put it right on the top, and I was like, I'm all ready. And then I was thinking, I got nobody to do with.
Now, so, it's only for watch-to-watch, right? I wish it were a watch to other devices.
That would be cool. But no, it's only watch-to-watch.
Yeah, you got to be part of the club.
Yeah, I got nobody to test with, though. So it's just sitting there. But I will say that I was totally dead wrong about the hardware. There was absolutely buckus, zilp, nil, anything.
Bupkis.
Buckus. Not even the hardware, the air power charger.
No, no chargers.
Oh, my God. But I did read an article. Mm-hmm. But they're having technical problems. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yep.
And they claim that it'll be out in September for the, you know, phone keynote. Mm-hmm. That's where we go. Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably when I would want to release that anyway, though. Personally, I mean, new phones, like, just chuck it out there with everything else because people are going to be buying new phones anyway.
Well, yeah. Some of you. I certainly am not, but no matter how much good stuff comes out, I'm still not going to buy a phone because this 8 has been working really good. I'm just kind of curious, since the last update, because we were talking about updates and things like that, the last update, has it kind of wrecked your battery a little bit on the latest update? And we're talking non-beta.
You're talking 11.4.
Yep.
No, I have not seen any grading problem with that at all.
I have a little bit, but I've had Sonos speaker issues, and so I've been doing a lot of testing, so that might have something to do with it.
That's always my problem. Is it hard to tell, like, is it actually just my phone, or have I just been using it more lately?
Yeah, same here.
Hmm. That's a good question.
I rarely get that low power mode thing pop up, but I've seen that a few times recently.
I get it every day now. Yeah, because I constantly am using my phone for testing and doing so many other things. So maybe I should just unclamp that from my hand once in a while.
Yeah, I usually don't use it, and I never get that pop up. It's kind of nice.
So what did you guys think of the, going back to the iOS 12 deal, what do you guys think of the face group calls? You think that's something you can use?
I kind of hope that that works out well. I mean, the quality already is great. 32 people seems like a crazy amount. Is that what it was? Or 28? It was some
32.
Like,
32. Number.
I don't even know 32 people I'd want to talk to at the same time.
well,
like
you
a
know,
handful of folks. I could definitely see use for that. And Skype is a nightmare. Like, man, you know. But it'd be nice to have people, I don't know, the option at least.
Well, you know, when we had the we did the Apple Viz Extra with Dave Nason, myself, and Tyler, and our guest Stuart, we were talking about that, and I didn't never even thought about it. I guess I got so used to the ecosystem that he didn't see a whole lot of use for it because a lot of his friends are kind of a mixed bag of what kind of phones they have, so it wouldn't be
see,
good for him.
I don't associate with Android users. I just don't know anybody that uses Android. I would talk to you if you did, but not on FaceTime.
Well,
but like,
be careful. I have a tablet now, so.
See, I do too. It's dead. It's in the kitchen, battery not charged. But like, I have uses for this because I do some podcasts and some other stuff on the side that is a group endeavor. And we use Skype because people have different types of computers and people are always dropping. And I try to have music going on in the background to like set the scene for what we're doing. And like, that gets the bandwidth restrictions on Skype cause problems with that. So I would love something that's better quality because I have very specific use cases for a thing like this.
But here's the thing. How do you record? What kind of an app would you use to record on FaceTime?
I mean, Audio Hijack should be able to do that just fine.
I don't have Audio Hijack. I'm running
Windows
here.
I don't know about
here.
You guys. I don't know about you. My problems are solved. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know if a screen recorder
my problems are solved.
Audio would pick that up. Your bonus is
lost. I mean, at least that one. I have other problems that definitely aren't solved. But
good question. But I think I'm really happy and I'm excited for the people with the older phones, 6.6s. They're going to be able to get this.
Oh yeah, yep.
So much faster. Mm-hmm. It'll be awesome. Awesome.
It does just seem like a feature that should have been there for a while.
But true. It's nice to see that they're going to keep another generation of phone stay on and not getting kicked off. That was
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I did think of you, Randy, as much as you love Spectrum.
Wait a minute. What do I love again? Oh, Spectrum? Spectrum. Wait a minute. This calls for a sound effect here.
and for those that don't know,
Spectrum.
In the United States, Spectrum is a cable provider that, sometimes we don't get a lot of choices what we get. It just depends where we live. And I guess the Apple TV is the
key. Oh, God. Don't get me started there.
Oh, now think about it. You can use your Apple TV as a cable box. How cool is that?
They got Oprah on board for original content. Come on.
but if you have Spectrum, you
I
don't
like
need
bread.
You don't need their stupid little box.
No, but here's the thing. I promised I wouldn't go into it, but I have to. Now, people, this is the same kind of thing. People were given iPads, or not iPads. They were given tablets and Roku boxes and stuff. Now, what if you just do not have the wherewithal or the tech savviness to, or the want even to run an Apple TV?
Well, I mean,
do you know how much easier it is to? I mean, for me, and I'm pretty good at tech stuff, you know. But I have a dish cable box. A dish box. You know, and I just love it. I think it's just great. I would much rather not go to an Apple TV, and I have an Apple TV in my living room. But if it Quiet. My dog is whining here. He's going, I love Apple stuff. I love it.
Not Dave.
So that's my theory. There are some people out there that just do not want to run And I'm sure there's a lot of Comcast listeners, and there's Comcast, by the way, guys, is another U.S. based company for those listening.
Yeah, they're awful.
Thank you for your humble opinion.
Yeah, I'll just throw it out there. I mean, they're one of the better ones, as far as I understand. But it's like, you know,
yeah.
What kind of disease do you want? You want this better disease or this not great disease? We haven't had cable or satellite since 2014, and I haven't missed it at all. Not even a little bit.
So what do you cut the cord? What do you guys use then for your streaming system?
They use the family. Like, we have the Apple TVs. So they generally use that. And my wife, who's more of a sports fan than I am, has got the Sling.
Oh, app, I see. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like $30 a month, or maybe it's like maybe 40 mm-hmm. with the like sports package. I never use it. The only thing I ever watch on that is the UFC fights on the weekends. But
you don't watch girls fight. Figure skating or
no. Not so much. No. The descriptions just aren't on par with my meat. So, you know, once they catch up, maybe. But right now.
All we use is Netflix, Hulu, and over-the-air TV.
Oh, I see.
That's really all you need. I mean, you can rent. We rent movies every now and then for the kids. It's like $3-4, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine.
But, I just only presented that because there are folks out there who still have cable, and I know how troublesome the cable boxes can be and how non-accessible they are when it comes to
be free. Cut the cord.
Well, there's all these buttons, you know, like the guide in the Spectrum. The guys weren't like never accessible, and it's just really difficult. So I just thought, there might be some possibilities here for some that might like.
So is the whole cloud being abandoned, the whole cloud project for Spectrum being abandoned now? Is that how it's going? Because they were going to go with the cloud service based boxes. Is that just being abandoned, or are they being utilized and we are just left out in the dark, so to speak?
Don't know. That's soon to be find out this coming fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I can guess.
We won't know. What? There was one cool thing that came out WWDC that was pretty quiet. Not a whole lot of people talked about it. And that was Apple kind of quietly, gently nudged out the option of 14-day trials for apps.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, and we had this discussion last month. It's like, oh, my God, that's innovative. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. That's already been out for
but, oh, wait.
And, you know, and that was one of the prediction I wanted to see happen. And by golly, George, it came through. They are given that option. However, it's not quite as what it seems from, I guess, some of the developers are kind of complaining about this option. I mean, obviously, what the best option for us would be is, okay, so I find this KNFB reader. I want to try it for 14 days. So, you would think you just go ahead and install it, put it on your phone, and in 14 days, you can cancel it or get out of it. And you'll be done. It doesn't work that way. And so what I found out is it's so convoluted. They made it so much harder than it needs to be. So get this, guys. So you now have to find the app of question that normally will cost money. Now, it has to be an in-app purchase. So if an app is now a fixed price, the developers have to make their apps a free app. And then once you download it, and then you have to purchase a free in-app purchase trial. I was just like, what? So that makes sense. So you got to download it first. Then you have to go to the in-app purchase to say, I want to try this for 14 days. Well, so you get the full functionality. Is that the most ridiculous?
It does seem really strange. And the only thing I'm like, maybe there's some weird, like the way that it's been built up to this point, like it was just easier for them to do it that way. Like maybe there is some kind of reason, but still that seems, it seems weird to pass the, I guess the effort of doing this onto the developers instead of them doing it themselves.
Pass the buck. I think you were thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just making the developers do the work. Hey, you figure this out if you want to do it. Not us. I don't know. It's strange.
The thing that they're complaining about is that they're already having to give up 30% of their revenue. You know, Apple comes in, take 30%. And they're thinking, my gosh, you handle all the billing and everything. You're taking that much. And now you're putting this much more pressure to put on us. And when it could be as simple as you guys say, did you like this in 14 days? Or you stop, you know, or don't bill until after 14 days. And that's their argument too. And so I have to back with the developers. So when this option does come rolling out, you'll get a basic idea how that's going to work. And it's just absolutely, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to some people, because some people are going to think, but I don't want to buy this in-app purchase. And I'm going, well, you have to.
Don't
try
do it then.
Yeah. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, if you want the trial, you got to do it. And sometimes, I mean, kind of going back to the cable company conversation, like when you have these massive companies, sometimes you have to just play ball and hope that they'll listen to you when you speak. But, you know, that's why we cut the cord, because it was that or keep paying what we were paying, and I didn't want to pay it. So we just walked away. Sometimes that's, you got to play ball or just go home.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm not positive. I don't know if that works for family sharing either. If you do an in-app purchase, I'm not sure if that works for everybody in the family. As in, if you purchase a app outright, everybody in the family, and if it's family shared, you can use it. So my KNFB reader can be shared among my family. But if it becomes a free and you do an in-app purchase, I'm not 100% sure that can be used as family shared.
I would hope so.
Well, it is something to think about and something to watch. But
yeah,
I was happy about the app trial. I was glad to see that, but it wasn't quite what I expected. I think we're going to hear about this a lot.
It's like a step in the right direction, but
one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah. It's the nature of the game, though. It's fun.
I don't know. We'll see on that, and we'll see if developers actually go with it, because that's a lot of work on their part. They're going to say, you know,
yeah, I wouldn't.
For it. You know, I'm not going to want to do that. But as Mr. Randy was saying, as you guys were having some battery problems, 11.4 did drop this month. That's puzzling, because I think you mentioned that before in the last podcast, Randy, that you were having battery problems still before that.
No, I said that I was having excellent battery issues. You just don't listen to me, that's all.
Excellent battery issues. I like that.
I got that. Oh, man.
You heard it, everybody.
I am not listening.
What?
Randy said that he has excellent battery life.
Except for now.
Oh, okay. So 11.4 dropped. Sorry, Mike. No emojis. Nah. I had to throw that out there for you.
I just got to wait till the fall when I can make them look like myself.
That's right. You can take advantage of your meat.
Heavens.
I went to one of the recap things. Like, the top thing was the emojis. I'm like, really? If that's the most exciting thing that you can say about your new software, I don't even want it. You gotta be kidding me.
Well, wait, we have more. It's called me emoji. And we're all like,
oh, yeah.
What?
I don't even know what an emoji or a regular emoji and a memoji. I don't understand this stuff. I'm too old now. I don't get it.
Oh, no. I'm going to put a fro on my head. I'm going to put ear piercing between, you know, right below my lips, you know, my chin, and go all out.
Mine's just going to be mad all the time.
All right. Your nickname now is Lip from now on. Lips Domville.
Staring at me.
Okay, what's next on the agenda there, Lips?
Mr. Lips. Well, okay, so 11.4, there's one big, big one I wanted to announce to everybody, and that is, I thought it was about dang time. You can now store your messages into the iCloud. That's big. You know, last time we got our phone, we're swapping out this phone, and my wife was, first thing she goes, what happened to all my messages? Well, honey, you lose that when you get a new phone. What? I need that. And a lot of people say that, and they'll say, I have like a bazillion, gazillion messages, and I use that to go back and forth and use as a reference and whatever not. So it's important to some people, and so now you have the option to back it up, which is a great thing.
I just wanted to sync. I'm glad it's going to start syncing now between the Mac, because I'll have them all deleted off my phone because I hate having messages. It'll open my Mac up and it's like, you've got 47 messages. Mm. I'm like, no, I don't. I just deleted all of those. What do you mean?
You're so right, Mike. I remember that. I would like open up my iPad for the first time in 3 months and all
they all come in.
And I'm like,
matches.
What the heck is all these messages? And so, yeah, you're right. It does sync across the whole platform. So if you delete from one device, it will not come across the other device.
Great. I'm excited about that part.
And then, of course, we don't have HomePod, the three of us, but the AirPlay 2 was kind of a big deal. Now you can have multi-room channels.
Well, it kind of means something to me because I'm a Sonos operator. And if you have a certain speaker like the Sonos One, which I have for the rear surrounds for my TV, then that will work.
I just picture you wearing a hat that says Sonos operator on it anytime you're watching.
I'm a Sonos operator.
I got it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, don't worry.
Now, I don't know enough about that. Now, can you do like what AirPlay 2 is like? Send this music directly to my kitchen.
That's what they claim. We'll see. And you only need one speaker to get everything playing like you want. So let's say that your system is old, like a year old. But if you have just one. I'm just going to leave that just as it is to make me look stupid. But if you have just one item, it will just cross over. It's like I have the Sonos ones, and if I were to get a Beam, which is a sound bar for the bedroom, which I don't have, don't plan to get, but that would be, you can do it either way. If you have just one thing, Play 2 will work. I mean, not Play 2, but whatever we were talking about will work.
It is
AirPlay 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want one that will know where my phone is. So when I walk from the kitchen to the living room, it'll automatically switch it. And then when I walk downstairs, it'll just switch it down there. I don't want to have to do stuff, you know?
Well, when you get to be my age, you're going, where's my phone?
That's why you have a walkie-talkie.
Where remote. Am I?
You know,
walkie-talkie watch.
You need something what Bill Gates had. And Bill Gates, there was a story I saw. They were going through his house, and he has this little pin that he carries around. And each family member has this pin. And every time you walk into a room, it's preset what you want. So the light comes on a certain level. If you want to... It'll know if you want to watch TV, what channel, and set the air conditioning to a certain temperature. I was like, now, how cool is that? So I was thinking of you, Mike. So I was like, well, that's what Mike needs.
Yeah, totally.
Follow you around.
The Roomba with the
HomePod
on its head would solve the problem with the music thing. But yeah, that would just make life easy.
Until you go downstairs.
Or I just need to buy like a one room.
All I can say is thank goodness that I can ping my phone with my watch. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I missed that. For that span of like a year and a half, I didn't have a watch. I missed that. I had to hook up the Echo to be able to call it because I was I'd yell at her to call my phone for me.
The only problem is I forget where I laid my Apple Watch. It's like, oh, man, there's no hope for me.
You are getting old, man. You're leaving things all over the place. I just have a simple rule. My phone and watch always goes in one place. I always put it down the same place.
Well, I want to have that rule. I just don't remember where that rule. Where that rule is.
Mine just fall out of my pockets all the time. Oh. This is confession time. I'm sort of like a cat. Like I like to lay around everywhere I go. Like if I show up at your house, I'll probably just lay in the middle of the floor. I won't sit on the couch. I'll just lay on the floor because I don't know. I like it. Is when I do that, my stuff falls out of my pockets. Then I get up and walk away. I'm like, ah, crap. Where was
Wouldn't
I?
Wouldn't that
laying?
Be great to have him as a house guest? Tom,
I would just tell you what.
Yeah. Just lay wherever you want, there, Mike.
Yeah, I don't need to do that.
I remember that one piece of email we got is thank goodness that you guys don't chat so much. We really like your podcast. We just blew it.
That's what happens.
Now, none of you guys are. You guys don't do. Do you use Braille display? Anybody?
Sometimes.
Oh, you do have a barrel display.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this awesome? I thought this news was incredible. Probably one of the most biggest movement of the year. And that was that Apple and Microsoft and among other people have teamed together and came up a industry standard USB for Braille displays to work all across different various platforms and OS devices. Wow.
I don't use it a ton because I suck at Braille. Like if I'm actually trying to do something, it's not worth it. Like, you know, but I'll plug it in just to practice just because, but I remember like trying to hook one up to my Mac and then trying to hook it up to the PC. And there's all these different problems and configurations and push this series of buttons. It was so confusing. And then even then, you know, hooking it up to the phone is a different set of steps and things. And so I think for people, I mean, there's probably a fair amount of people who this is their number one way of using their devices. This is going to be huge because it is such a pain in the butt to try to get these things to work properly with all these different technologies.
Yeah.
To make it work on, you should have done forever ago.
Well, it's just,
I think it's great.
It makes sense. One driver for all. And oh my God, this one driver. And that way, no matter if you got the newest one, you're not sure if that driver is going to work right or if it's buggy. Obviously the hardware could be buggy, but the point is that you plug in it and it will work.
Yeah. And that's how it should be. Like, it's one thing if everybody wants to have their own charger or like stupid stuff like that. But when it comes to something like Braille devices, like that's actually affecting people's lives in a negative way. And that shouldn't be the kind of thing that you guys, and not that they are, but they shouldn't be competing and trying to push their own version of this thing. Like, no, just make it the same because you care about the people that are using your stuff, not because you want to get a bit of more money.
Yeah, and no configuration nightmare or anything. It just works.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy smokes, I really was very excited about this. You know, I did talk, and thank you, Scott Dever, if you're listening to this. He gave me some information because I had some questions. I was like, well, how does this affect for people that already have Braille display? Like, you know, they own it previously. Is that going to work? I mean, are they going to come out with a firmware update or some sort of a patch update for their device? And he basically says they're more than likely probably not. You may have to buy a new Braille display. However, it doesn't mean they're not going to. He says it's just to remain to be seen by the manufacturer if they decide to adopt something, if that could be done. So hopefully that your device and, you know, God forbid, I mean, they're expensive. So,
yeah,
as wonderful as this is, it's going to take years and years down the road before everybody would be able to take advantage of this, depending on the manufacturer. I also asked him, I said, well, does this also work for Bluetooth? You know, would that be like one Bluetooth for everyone? He says, at this time, no. They're working on a standard for that, but this is only for the USB. So, I really appreciate his input on this. And so that kind of helped me figure out what's going on. I know you guys are probably out there, there's listeners are probably a lot more expert to this than we are. But nonetheless, no, I'm excited for this. And do you a lot of training with this? That's where you work at, Randy?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't know if you guys come across this problem all the time during the training and all this trying to get the device working.
No, most people that I work with, I'm teaching just basic Braille skills, and so they are not even thinking about getting Braille displays. But that's just where we're at, you know.
Sure. Well, it'd be kind of nice. I can just bring your own Braille display and just plug it wherever you go instead of having to worry about it.
That's,
But also last month, I told you guys about this butterfly effect lawsuit they were going on with some of these keyboards. So let me explain this butterfly thing. It's because Apple finally admit there is a problem and they are going to help those people with the butterfly keyboards. Apparently, the keyboards, if you have a MacBook, as early as 2015, and if you have a MacBook Air, as soon as 2016, and you're using the butterfly keyboards, people are responding back. The keys are not working, or they get sticky, they get stuck, and it goes, you know, you get the same key going over and over, or some keys work, some keys don't. It's just weird stuff. And for Apple, that is extremely unusual. You guys know that Apple have always made hardware to last. Really good stuff. So this was a kind of embarrassing blow. I agree. It is kind of an embarrassing blow, but Apple was very nice, and they finally made an announcement that they are going to cover those with a butterfly mechanism, with people with most of the butterfly mechanism keyboard on your MacBook. And if you already got it purchased or repaired or need to be repaired, they will replace it for free. And they also gave those people with a butterfly mechanism to the qualifying certain MacBooks for a 4-year extension warranty for your keyboard. I thought that was really nice. I said, oh, that's great. So it goes beyond the first year service care agreement. So
that's awesome. I was reading something recently. It was talking about how to build customer loyalty. And this is an exact example of that. Like, if you screw up, it's not so much the fact that you screwed up that's going to send people away. It's if you try to be shady, try to hide it, try to cover it up somehow. But if you just own it and do something like this, where like, hey guys, look, whoops, but here's your options for you. We'll fix it. We'll do this. We'll do this. Do this. Like, those people potentially, like, this is one of the best ways to build really loyal customers, is when you do screw up, you just own it and then fix the problem and go on with business. Take care of the people that have already paid you, and they're going to keep coming back because they know that down the road, if something else goes wrong, that it'll get taken care of, hopefully.
Yeah. I kind of like the fact that knowing that maybe I don't have the problem now, but I feel, but I'm kind of scared because I'm like, oh my God, you know, what if this happens next year and I start getting this effect? Well, you're covered for 4 years. And so I'll give them a halfway of a gold star for doing that. Obviously, the other half gold star, it should never happen. You shouldn't. Right. Yeah, you know, you should have done more testing. But regardless, they at least owned up to it and gave you above and beyond warranty for your keyboard. I thought that was great.
I wonder how long they have somebody sitting in a back room just typing. Like, come on, test it. Test this keyboard. We need 10,000 words before we can send this out. Go.
That's right. Keep pecking on it. Come on, keep going.
What a sad job.
You know, I've seen these car commercials where they have these little tests, you know, like this car jumping up and down, going through these bumps. Like, it's gone through a million miles.
They have that sandbag like whacking the seat. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, what did they do the same at Apple? You know, it's like, all right, we're going to have this monkey peck on this thing 24 hours for 12 hours.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I had a potential person sit down one time and ask me, what's the largest document that I could type in a Word document? How large could I make it? And I didn't understand his question. That's just what he wanted to know. How large of a document can you write? I said, well, that's an interesting question. Here, sit down. and you know, I never saw him again.
He's still trying to solve that.
Go. Yes, right now, go.
Go.
Surely there's no end, right?
Right.
And if you're still around when I get back from lunch, awesome. We'll see how many pages.
That's funny.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, we also had a pretty big podcast this month for AppleBiz. David, Nason, and I were honored to bring on Sarah Herlinger. As she came on for the show, I thought it was worth listening. There's still a handful of people that didn't think we covered it as well as they wanted to. They wanted us to be more tough with it, and I get that. They are very passionate people. They're very advocate for things like that. And I appreciate your feedback and all that. But as you can see, we would never been able to do the podcast if we had to do that. And I know.
Yeah. The day that you put out a podcast and everybody is 100% satisfied, that's when you retire. You just quit.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you just talk.
That's right. So if you like this podcast, oops, we're doing too good of a job then.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. We're not doing a good job. We're not saying anything interesting.
Yeah, that's right. Some of the new apps for this month, one to point out, did you guys get a chance to listen to Scott Davis' podcast on Travel Ears?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think of that?
Well, I thought his podcast is very thorough, and I liked the idea of it, but And as much as you guys know that I like sound and working with sounds and things like that, I just doesn't seem like something that I'd use much.
I tell you what, I got it. I didn't listen to the podcast. I just got the app because I wanted to just try it out. And I feel like there might be some of those. Okay, so full confession, I play Dungeons & Dragons, you guys, and I have an online group. And I have my mixer hooked up with iPods and phones, and I play background sounds and music and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Some of those like cityscapes, I'm like, oh, this would be perfect. I find it fun to listen to. Like the bees, you can actually hear them like buzz around your head and stuff. Like, this is neat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I hope they add more.
But it's so darn convoluted to try to get the stuff that you want, I think.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of time to mess with the app itself. I just scroll through like the first list or whatever it is.
Yeah, and then you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, is there more? Is that it?
What I do is I just go around stealing other people's sounds from their podcasts and put them in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And they don't care because they don't listen to what I do, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. You know, I was surprised. You know, at first when I played it, I said, yeah, these are really cool sounds. I kind of made a little clip of it mocking that I was like there saying,
I saw that. Yeah, I heard yours too.
I'm in this Vienna Vienna Square listening to the orchestra. I was just playing around. But honestly, I haven't seen traffic come through AppleViz in one particular app like this in a while. It was so many people actually really loved that.
And really?
You know, I think it's a personal preference. I think some people just, you know, this is a time to get away from everything. They just pop this on, relax, whether they just want to need to relax or just kill some time. It, you know, some people enjoy that.
And it really does sound like you're there, though, because like I've got some tracks on my phone that it's just the same thing, maybe 3, 5, 10 seconds that loops over and over and over and over. And these actually change. Like you'll hear some little girl over on the right, and then a little while later she's over on the left. Like you can tell the people, it's actually a real environment where things are happening.
Oh, yeah. The recordings are great.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess the developer has come to AppleViz and saying thank you so much and getting all sorts of ideas of what other people want to hear. And let me know, there are some good ones and there are some crazy ones. And I know one of the wild things, he said he was going to try to do surfing. I said, oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of
Maybe they could get that person that did that surfing thing with the Apple Watch a couple of years back. Who was that? Somebody was standing on a surfboard with their Apple Watch going, hello, here I am. Pardon me.
I don't remember that.
I should get on there and comment because I have some friends that are getting ready to kayak the Grand Canyon in a couple of months. That might be fun.
Hmm.
Yeah, wow. All 226 miles of that thing recorded.
So they're not like you are then, Mike. They just don't lay on the floor. They actually surf.
No. Yeah, they do stuff. Yeah, I was gonna go, but I'm broken.
Too busy laying down.
Yeah, no. I have life. You know, I got things to do. I can't go play in the Grand Canyon.
Nope, you're just laying down on the job.
That is my job.
But that seriously, I really thought that Scott did a great job. Man, it just made me, you know, no offense to Scott, but it just made me not want to get the app just because, well, no, let me explain myself. Any app that I really have to work at, I just don't have just the energy to just do it, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't want to just like go here, go there.
I liked how he gave us a tour. The tour was great.
It was great.
It kind of gives you an idea of what New York and where's the placement of it. And I thought that was pretty. That was done real well.
Yeah, as I said, the app is great. I mean, the sounds. I really liked the jazz club. Boy, I'm just digging myself in deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's our weather?
Not very good.
I'll come and rescue you, okay?
All right, good.
So, Mike, you said you're okay. So, you revealed yourself as a Dungeon Dragon guy, and you know, you mentioned you played Crafting Kingdom and stuff.
145.
So, what the?
That's nice.
Okay, it's 145, everybody.
Yeah, well, this is a tribute to Joe, who does the podcast that we all know, and he always said, well, we know what time it is because all his clocks go off, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess I'll start that over. Okay, so we know now that Mike is a Dungeons & Dragons dude. I was thinking about you on this one. This one was kind of a quiet one, too, came out, and I think it was kind of huge because I don't know if you guys remember, there's a we nominated this as the Hall of Fame many years ago. It was probably one of the first one, actually, or up, well, shortly after that. King of Dragon Pass. You guys remember that game?
Oh, man, I haven't played that in a long time.
I don't think you would. I mean, Randy, you probably don't play those kind of games. It's an RPG game, if you guys don't remember.
No, I play other ones, but not that one.
Yeah, you got to figure that.
But I heard the podcast and was like, nope, not for me.
Yeah, it's long, and there's a lot to work to do on it. And so I was kind of poking to Mike because I kind of figured he would have played it. So
yeah, I guess it's been a while.
Did you know that as of this week of this podcast, when it's released, you guys will be able to download the Six Ages, which is the brand new sequel. I don't know if it's a sequel, but it's a new game from the people that made Kingdom Pass. So I thought, anybody that likes that game, go check out the Six Ages.
I like this kind of stuff just for the story aspect. Like, it's not even about the gameplay for me. It's just like, how creative can these people be with this topic? Because it gets, like, it can be really well done, like using goofy characters and stuff. You could do a great job, or you can just make a goofy story. Like, that's the fun part for me, is just the storytelling aspect of all of this kind of stuff.
And
so I'm excited about it.
I am too, because the Dragon Pass game was incredibly rich. I mean, it was really detailed, fully depth. I mean, it isn't just this squirrely little game that, I mean, this, they put a lot of effort into it. So I can't wait to get my hand on the Six Ages. So I'm excited for that. So because it made the Hall of Fame, I thought, oh, I got to mention.
That's awesome. And yeah, having being a DM for my group and world building now, I've gained a much greater appreciation for how much work actually goes into it. Like, it's much more difficult for me now to play a game like that, even if it's not that great, and be like, nah, this is dumb. I hate it. Because I'm like, no, you guys don't understand. Like, it's way more work than you even have a clue.
Oh, no doubt. I know this guy spent a lot of time to this creating this game. So, and not only that, but he also made sure to include people with voiceover accessibility to be in the beta cycle. And thank you. That's awesome. So to have a mainstream game like that to work with visually impaired folks is always awesome. There is another app release news I wanted to let you all know that we talked about this back in April. We talked about the FlickType and how, and I think Mike was saying he absolutely loved it because he was able to type it so much quicker. And yeah, I did too.
I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just announced that the system-wide keyboard is now out, so you can get it today in your FlickType. However, it is a subscription if you want the system-wide keyboard for 99 cents a month.
And you can try it out for 7 days, by the way.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so if you guys have been looking for the system-wide keyboard, here it is, 7 days trial. Give it a whirl, and if you like it, go for the 99 cents purchase. I don't think that was a bad price. You know, I've seen a lot of prices that are kind of ridiculous, but 99 cents, that's something that we can live with. If it's something that you truly love and you're going to be able to use it day to day, it's something like this you would use every day.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I hear a subscription and immediately I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Well, you're not the only one. I just, you know, I've checked my Twitter feed on it and there's so much grumbling. Pardon me. I'm just getting over a bad case of laryngitis, so sometimes my throat just stops. but I look at that same thing, but I don't like go on Twitter and go, I don't know if I want to pay 99 cents a month for that. But I mean, let's face it. There's so many developers that have their hand in your pocket, but they have to because they're bringing you this great update. And I, for one, am glad that they're, and they're true to their word, Tom, right? they're not exorbitant with their pricing structure. 99 cents. I mean, I would just, you know, let that go. I think that's cool.
And oh, no that's doubt. Kind of the future of tech too, is subscriptions. And it is better because my wife is a photographer, and we used to buy Photoshop, which was thousands of dollars. And then every couple of years, a new version would come out. Here's mm-hmm. another $1,000, $2,000 you got to drop. Then they swapped over to the subscription thing, and now we just get the updates. So we pay every month. So I mean, long term, it probably ends up kind of equaling out. Mm-hmm. But you don't have that large chunk right up front. And honestly, if it's an app that you use a bunch, why not just support the people that are making it? So
yeah, you know, as we did the podcast with Costa on this, you know, we had concern. I had concern. I said, you know, where are you going to make money? And two, is it going to be around? And he promised us that he would make sure that it would be affordable to all of us and something that we could all live with. Because you can still use the FlickTop app for free mm-hmm. if you choose not to use the system-wide keyboard. So, yes, you're right, Randy. He is true to his word. Mm-hmm. He kept it nominal. And that way he can make a living, too. And, you know, if I had more people like this, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. He understands the budget constraint that we have to face day to day for most of us.
Right. And I personally, I don't understand the people that immediately turn to Twitter and kind of rage about it. And I haven't even looked. Because like I said, I think I follow you guys now. I
oh,
like
really?
98% of what I follow aren't like individual people. It's like news and organizations and stuff that I'm interested in because I don't like that. Like, I don't need people like that in my life.
I just don't like people. I just don't.
I mean, kind of. I don't like people on Twitter a lot of times because they're just mean, and I don't want that in my life. And so, personally, like, even if you don't like something an app is doing, there's a constructive way to go about that, like having that conversation, yep. and they're not.
Oh, I don't find people really mean on Twitter, but I find people mean on other applications, primarily that use voice. They're just... just nasty people.
It's a social media. People get real ugly real quick. And that's part of the, I mean, I used to follow a lot of folks, but I reached this point where I'm like, all right, you, like just sort of picking out the mm-hmm. kind of toxic people. And
happens. You know, it happens to all of us because Facebook is a great example. I just stopped using Facebook entirely. It's just gotten so toxic. I just said, you know what, screw this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you guys used, well, Mike, you haven't, but Tom, have you used the new onboard keyboard part of the application?
I have not personally tried it. I can't wait to try it because it had been in beta for such a long time. Mm-hmm. I've heard many people on Twitter saying they love it, the system-wide. As often as I use my keyboard for messaging and things like that, I definitely will be looking at this, and I will definitely be taking advantage of the 7-day trial, see if that's something I want to do.
So do you type then when you do messaging, you know, using like your text messaging app, or do you mostly dictate or do you type?
80 and 20. Yeah. I will say when I am up, I will mostly dictate. I will use my watch a lot to dictate, but there are times that Siri will butcher the hell out of what I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Type it, or I need to be discreet. I have my headphones on,
right,
and people are in the room. It's loud environment. Then I have to type. So, yeah, I do use typing, believe it or not, just depending on the mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. You guys got to head on over there, get the FlickType. I think you guys will enjoy it. If you haven't played with it, get it today. Play with it. It's free and give them a whirl. And now, guys. Well,
it's not completely free, but. Well,
do you subscribe in the app itself for the onboard keyboard, as we're calling it? Do you subscribe in the app to get that, or do you have to go back to the app store?
No, you can just download it, and then as soon as you activate it, it will ask you, do you want to try the 7-day free trial?
It all happens from the same app, because I have the app. I just haven't.
Well, you got to update it first.
But that's what I just did that, like, literally 5 seconds ago.
Same here. I did that about 5 hours ago.
Yeah, I believe it's an in-app purchase to answer your question.
Right. I'm sure it is,
I don't think it's two separate app you have to download.
Because I remember, that one time that happened, it didn't go over well. So,
You get overcharged and get charged things or something.
Yeah, and sometimes things get messy. So I'm glad there's not a separate app. They'll keep it all in one house. Makes it easy.
So you think Apple will adopt their standard and just automatically add it?
No.
Add it?
This is what I would love. I would love to see Apple purchase his company. Buy him out. Give him a nice size living and for the work and put it system-wide. That would be awesome. Will they do it? I don't know. I you know, Apple's Apple. I don't know. I don't think so.
I do kind of wish they'd just make plugins for all this stuff. Just a little bit more Android-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's keyboard stuff. Here's this stuff. Here's Siri stuff. Here's whatever. You guys can do what you want with it. Good luck.
But we could make a success if each and every one of our listeners and beyond pass it to your friend, to your friend, to your friend. Email them. Email Apple and say, hey, you guys need to buy this company and make it system-wide. Love this. Possible. Possible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting down to the end of the podcast. I'm going to wrap this up with my two top tips I thought people would like to know. And for those that have 11.4 now installed on your device, I mentioned before how you can have messages backed up to your cloud. So if you guys do end up getting a new phone, or if you have to wipe it, or for God's sakes, you know, you can keep it synced across all the devices. I'm going to show you how to do it. It's very simple. You just go to your Apple settings, and at the top is your name. It'll say your name. That's the account information. You just double tap that, and then you just keep swiping to the right until you get to cloud. And from there, you go down to where it says message, and you turn that on. Now, a word of warning. If you are one of those people that have gigs and gigs of gigs of messages, like my wife, God bless you. And if you're on a 5 gig plan, you got to remember that is going to count towards your 5 gig plan. So if you're on a 5 gig plan, you need to think about how much that's worth to you and make sure you have enough space. If you got plenty of space, awesome.
Data is so cheap now. They can just, you know, what is it, like 99 cents for an upgrade or something?
It is 99 cents to get 50 gig a month.
Yeah.
So that is pretty a done deal in this house. As much photos that people take and things like that, they want to back up. Almost every, I think my wife and my kids all have that plan for 99 cents. So that way they can, will never lose their photos and whatever. Not now, they don't have to worry about losing their message. I am one of those weirdos that every time I get a message, I just clear it out.
I do too.
Me too.
I just clear it out. And some people look at me and says, why would you do that? What if you need it? I said, well, I don't.
I don't either.
It's like, well, you might need that to go back. I said, what if they text you an address? I said, if it was an address I need, I will save that and add it to my contact.
Same here.
Exactly. Yep. I do that with my pictures too. If I get a picture, I'll save it for post it on Instagram, whatever I'm going to do with it. And then I go back and delete it right away. Like if I have more than 10 in my camera roll, I'm doing it wrong.
Then we all three of us have some sort of an OCD problem.
I prefer to be organized, and I just don't want to keep all this junk laying around. I keep my phone like I keep my house. If I find something like I haven't used this in like 7 months, why do I have this? I'm gonna throw it away.
Yeah, yeah. There's no dust balls. Yeah. I do the same thing in my recent phone. If you go see who you read, I cleared out.
Voice. I only have one person in my like the favorites thing too. That first tab, I only have one person in there because I don't put anybody in my favorites, you know.
Because you don't like anybody. That's why.
You don't like anybody. Huh. Nobody ever calls you. Oh,
that's more it. I only get phone calls from like telemarketers and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to hear from you guys.
I use the favorites a lot. I put all my family and my kids. The only reason I do that is because I put I have the scheduling do not disturb come on.
Mm-hmm.
And but I have all those to ring through and text through if something in emergency during that night or something. Yeah,
my kids might make it in that list when they're old enough, but nah,
you only have one ice person, huh?
Yeah.
In case of an emergency, I got one person.
Yep.
Okay. That's it. But anyway, so that's a tip how you save your messages. And then my last one, now I know this tip is not going to happen very often for a lot of people, but it happened to me And I was thinking, why in the world is this happening and how do I get rid of it? So the what happened to me, I was composing in mail, and I don't know how you guys, when you guys add a person to your message. So you, when you go to mail and you compose a mail, it says to who, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people just swipe one more to the right and go to add contact, and then they go through the whole index. I don't.
Oh, God, no, I don't do that.
Oh, no.
So yeah, that's just horrible.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think everybody knows that. I think a lot of people will go to the add contacts and go to that. What you may not know is that, let's just say I want to mail Randy. I would hit the letter R, and then you just keep swiping to the right.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yep. And you get a suggested friends that you have email with the beginning R of the first name or last name. It'll show up, and you just double tap that, and boom, it puts it in there. However, there has been times that I will send an email. So here's my example. I had a lady that I deal with as a coworker. They had to get their email changed. And so every time I hit her name always shows up with the old email. And it drives me batty because it's not in my contact. Mm-hmm. In my contact, it has the most newest recent email. I was like, how is this still there?
So that's what I wonder too. Yeah, I wondered this.
It had, so
help,
it's,
help us, Tom. Help us.
Help us. Help us. How do we get out of this problem? I'm glad you asked, Randy. So as you go to the right and you find your friends, if you go to the right one more time, if that friend is not in your contact anywhere, that is the email doesn't exist or is not being used, there'll be a more info button next to that. And I never even noticed that. And if you double tap on more info, you'll go down to the bottom where it says forget recent history.
Or I didn't know that. I did not know.
Uh-huh. So you double tap that, and then now from now on, I don't get her old email address on there anymore.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. It does the same thing in your messages. iMessages has that feature too.
Okay.
I was sending a Christmas song of questionable content to a friend of mine, and there was a conversation that we had like 3 months earlier with this person's entire family, spouses, like 7 or 8 other people.
Uh-huh.
And I accidentally sent this message to everybody because of that feature. It did not go over super well. But I learned then that, like, oh, look, you can delete these. Fantastic. So I go through constantly and I'm deleting all those old, because it will remember who's in conversations and things like that.
So just remember this, Mike. When it comes to sending stuff like that, I'm your man. You can just send me all that stuff that you want. And I'll send it to Tom and, you know, we'll have a good
fair
time.
Enough. Yeah, I'm going to just start shooting them your way.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I send it, I got a phone call. I was like, what did you do? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Uh-oh.
Like, you said that to everyone. I'm like, oh, whoops.
Well,
it's not anything like I'm not embarrassed of it. I'm just more like aware of other people's sensitivities. I knew like someone that wouldn't appreciate it like I did. So
did you see his eyes? His eyes were really great. Things like that. Well, so it works under message. That's good. Okay, so that's good to know. So it works under mail and message.
Mm.
Yep.
Great.
Awesome.
I actually have a tip if you guys want to hear it.
Oh, go for it.
Did you guys know that on the iPhone 8s, not the 7s or the 6s or the 6s going backward, this is for the 8s only that I found. I was working with a student one day, and I found out that through all the hard way that the student did not have this capability. They were running the 7. And I'm going, oh, this is just great. I want to show you this. And he didn't have this. But on the 8s, and I'm assuming moving forward, if you go into music, not music as you're thinking of music to listen to the stuff, but in just under settings under music, you can find all kinds of equalization settings in there. And one of my favorites is night mode. If I turn that on, all of a sudden my curve changes just a little bit, but it really gets loud, which is very unusual because you figured nights everything would be soft, but it brings up a lot of the music nuances and brings the equalization curve to a much louder point. And I really enjoy that, just so that I can just kind of turn my phone down, but it's just a little bit more clear for me at night. So I just left it there.
Huh. I thought I'd give that a try.
Yeah.
I knew it. had it, but I didn't quite know how. I knew it got louder on the phone itself, but I didn't know how it affected the sound quality.
Yeah, it's like night mode or something. You'll know it when you see it. I don't remember the exact name, but I just left it there. And I was trying to show it to all my students, and it's there. I've seen it. It's on my phone. And that's not even for the sevens. That's just starting with the eights.
That's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
I will definitely have to get that. Yeah, no, thank you for that tip.
You're welcome.
Just a little side note. I know you guys are like myself that have the Amazon Echo.
Oh, yeah.
Get the new update for the Amazon Alexa. As of with this new update, it now has voice control.
You mean for the app itself on the phone, right?
Yep. The iOS app, it now has voice control. You can actually ask her the weather and calendars. You even will do some skills.
I've noticed that.
I was like, oh my gosh. It's not full-fledged, of course. You know, obviously they want you to buy their product, but anything better than nothing. And so they hadn't had that for ever.
Is it like the Google app where you...
Well, exactly right. That's what I was going to say. They're playing catch-up. I was going to come on and go, you know why they're doing that, don't you guys? Well, that's precisely it. The Google app has the same thing. The, what is that called? Oh, Google Assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in there and ask it to play a game, and she'll list you off. Because I thought, God, I would just love to even buy the device just so that I could play these awesome games on it, because I like trivia. And you can do that with your iPhone with Google Assistant now. And if you have a really nice pair of Bluetooth speakers that you can operate Siri with, you can operate Siri and use Google. It's kind of synonymous with each other, kind of weird. But you can use Siri to control your speaker and shut VoiceOver off and just play your trivia game.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I love this because now we're going to be able to play games. You know, if we're on vacation, we don't have those devices around, and it's raining, and we're just killing some time, we can just bring up the Google Assistant or Amazon Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Play games, and that is a really fun time to do with the family. That is something that's missing with Apple, unfortunately. We have that discussion before.
Yep.
So the reason I wanted to bring this up, because you know, the more options we have, the better that everybody get educated, that we know what's available to us,
we know what we're talking about. Yeah, that too.
Exactly. All right, guys, well, that's gonna do for this show.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Mike and Randy.
Yes, of course. Thanks, listeners, for hanging out.
Yeah, keep those emails coming. We're so happy that you're pleased with what we are doing, and we're sure happy to be here. We love doing this podcast.
Definitely. We got a lot of good feedback this past month, and I really appreciate it. I've been forwarding them all to the team and all three of us. Really enjoy reading these things, and it just makes our day, you know. It just makes us motivated and happy to do this podcast. And so
it was great to see, because I saw Tom was going, oh, look at this, guys, look at this.
Yeah, I know. Look, this one likes us.
Right.
and this one.
Yeah. So thank you, really. We're serious about it. It's just great having the feedback coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys for next month, for July. And, well, that's going to be it. I am Thomas Donville here with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. Until next month, guys, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of Apple Vis. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.